Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future. I'm your host, Todd Butterfield. Today, I'm delighted to have with me Dr. Michael Eggener, a neurosurgeon who has been a professor in the Department of Pediatrics at Stony Brook University since 1991. Welcome, doctor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mike will be talking today about Lysenkoism, based on your article in Evolution News titled Darwinian Lysenkoism in America. And the story clearly involves the battle of concepts regarding genetics that impacted early Soviet history. And before we launch into what Lysenkoism is, Mike, would you indulge me with a quick definition of a couple of terms to help out the listener? Mendelism and Lamarckianism, and then a little later we'll compare and contrast them.
Lamarckianism is the scientific theory of Lamarck, who was a scientist who lived in the early 19th century, who believed that genetics was the passage of acquired traits, that living things that acquired certain abilities during their life could pass those acquired traits on to their offspring. And Darwin actually was primarily a Lamarckian in development of his theory of natural selection. Mendelism was a theory that was posed by an Augustinian monk named Gregor Mendel, who actually was a contemporary of Darwin, but Darwin ignored him and ignored his work. Mm. And Mendel believed that inheritance was passed primarily by genes that did not change appreciably during the life of an organism, so that inherited traits were not acquired traits. And Mendelian genetics is a very different way of looking at genetics than Lamarckian genetics ones. And Mendelian genetics was actually ignored for about a half century after Mendel's work and wasn't rediscovered really until the early 20th century. And part of the reason was that there was so much excitement about Darwin's theory of evolution, his theory of natural selection, that Mendel was kind of pushed aside. And in fact, it was believed that the Mendelian way of looking at inheritance was inconsistent with the Darwinian paradigm. That inconsistency supposedly was resolved later in the 20th century with a modern synthesis. But for a long time, it was believed that you could either be a Mendelian or a Darwinian, but not both.
I can see why there would be a problem with that in the Soviet Union. And thank you for the definition. There were clearly a lot of heady scientific and social and political discussions pre-1900s, as you've already described some, with Mendelism, Lamarckianism, Darwinism, Marxism, communism. And you point out that these had a political impact during the rule of Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union, in part sparked by an individual named Trofim Lysenko. Who was Trofim Lysenko, and how did he gain Stalin's attention?
Lysenko was an agronomist, basically a scientist who studied agriculture, and he was born in 1898 and he died in 1976, and he came from a very humble background. And he was actually a rather passionate Darwinist and strongly supported the notion of Darwinian evolution. He was a good Marxist, and he believed, along with Marx and Engels, that just as Darwin had discovered the law of development of organic nature, that Marx discovered the law of development of human history. So they actually saw parallels between Darwin's theory and Marxism. Lysenko believed that Mendelism was inconsistent with Darwinian evolution, and he felt that Lamarckism was the only correct way to look at genetics. So he used the power of the Soviet government to enforce Lamarckism as the only acceptable scientific approach to genetics. He developed a concept, or furthered a concept, called vernalization, which was sort of the idea that you could condition crops to improve genetically and to pass those acquired improved traits to their offspring, into new crops. This Lysenkoism was a catastrophe for Soviet agriculture and really led to famines. It was very bad science. And one of the reasons that it held sway for so long in the Soviet Union was that the Soviet government backed it and really punished people who questioned Lysenko's science.
Hmm. So he gained some power and influence in the Soviet government to the extent that it affected what they did overall in agriculture?
Yes. Lysenkoism essentially was the use of government power to enforce scientific orthodoxy. Lamarckian genetics and Darwinian evolution based on Lamarckian genetics was the scientific orthodoxy of the Soviet Union. And if you were a scientist and you didn't agree with that, if you felt that Mendelian genetics was a better scientific approach, you lost your job. You quite likely got sent to Siberia, and a number of scientists were executed for that.
My goodness. So there was a distinct conflict between the two views, Mendelism and Lamarckianism, and the Soviet communists, believed so strongly that Mendelism was a threat to their power that they put people in prison for thinking or speaking of anything other than Lamarckianism. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Lysenkoism essentially, if one could ask, what was Lysenkoism? What was the whole process? And it can be summed up rather succinctly, again, as the use of government power to enforce scientific orthodoxy. Mm. And the Soviets used imprisonment and execution, but Lysenkoism doesn't necessarily involve such draconian measures. One can have a Lysenkoism in which the government denies grant funding. There are all sorts of methods used to prevent people from questioning prevailing scientific orthodoxy.
Mm. So back to today, Dr. Ignor, your article mentioned that Lysenkoism is being revived in Russia today, which doesn't really surprise me, but not everybody may recognize that there are some modern examples of Lysenkoism in America. What's going on here?
Well, probably the clearest example of Lysenkoism in America has been the use of government power to enforce Darwinian orthodoxy, the basic denial of funding, people who have ideas that are along the line of intelligent design, or even denial of funding for people who ask intelligent questions about Darwinism, who want to find out what are the weaknesses as well as the strengths. Another bad thing is that Lysenkoism not only punished the scientists who question orthodoxy, mm-hmm. but Lysenkoism holds science back. Science is inherently a process of questioning. It's inherently a process of challenging orthodoxy and looking at non-orthodox ways of understanding how the natural world works. And in the Soviet Union, Soviet agriculture was devastated mm-hmm. by Lysenkoism. There were famines. It wasn't until the early 1960s that the Soviet government finally realized that Lysenkoism was destroying Soviet biology. In the United States, Darwinian Lysenkoism has done great damage to molecular biology.
Hmm. Do you have an example?
Yeah, the example is of junk DNA.
Okay.
There has been a theory it's been really since the 1960s, that most of the DNA in the human genome, and in the genome of all living things, of most living things at least, is junk, meaning that it's accumulated material, genes, that were present in ancestors that no longer are subject to natural selection, and just sort of build up as just debris. It's kind of like junk in your basement. It just, you don't really use it. It just over the years builds up. And the Darwinists would routinely use the presence of junk DNA to argue for a Darwinian understanding of evolution. They would say, look, I mean, if this is designed, why would the designer make, you know, the 90% of the stuff in the genome is worthless? That's not design. Mm-hmm. But they would say the natural selection easily explains that, but that's stuff that used to be of some selective value, but now isn't, and it just kind of hangs around. There's a project called the ENCODE Project, which was a project developed in the early 21st century and funded by the U.S. government. And there were a whole series of papers, scores of scientific papers that were published in 2012 about ENCODE, and ENCODE. And the papers clearly showed that junk DNA is a myth. It's an absolute myth that at least 80% of the content of the human genome has a function. The function isn't always a gene coding for a protein. The function may be a gene coding for RNA. It may be various functional sites for the manipulation, for the turning on and off of our DNA. It may be regulatory sites. But this notion that the majority of the DNA in the genome is junk has been shown by the ENCODE project, which has been published in Nature magazine, Science, the top science journals. The notion that junk DNA is the main kind of DNA in our genome is simply a myth. It's bad science. And Darwinian lifecyclism is the cause of that bad science. That is that generally people accepted the Darwinian way of looking at the genome. That has put molecular biology back decades, just like lifecyclism in the Soviet Union put Soviet agriculture back decades. Think of all the medicines that could have been developed, of all the diseases that could be better understood, of all the insight we could get into human genetics if we had not been held back by Darwinian lifecyclism and if we had recognized that DNA is a myth.
It's sad. Do you think that the Darwinian community is going to turn a blind eye like the Soviets did to Mendel's work, or are they going to engage this ENCODE work and actually treat it with some respect? Or do you know yet?
They've engaged it. They've engaged it vigorously. They have attacked it.
Okay.
They've attacked it brutally. Larry Moran, who's a leading molecular biologist, who blogs a blog called Sandwalk, attacks it constantly. So they certainly engage it, and they respect it to the extent that they're trying desperately to destroy it. There is a molecular biologist by the name of Dan Grur, G-R-A-U-R, from the University of Houston, who's a Darwinist. He's a strong ENCODE opponent. And in a 2013 meeting of the Society of Molecular Biology and Evolution in Chicago, Grur made this statement. He said, and I quote, "If the human genome is indeed devoid of junk DNA, as is implied by the ENCODE project, then a long, undirected evolutionary process cannot explain the human genome.
Amen.
If, on the other hand, this is from Darwinists. He said, if, on the other hand, organisms are designed, then all DNA, or as much as possible, is expected to exhibit function. If ENCODE is right, that evolution is wrong," end quote.
There you go.
So this is from a leading Darwinian biologist. He clearly said that ENCODE is contradictory to the Darwinian paradigm, and he's fighting ENCODE. So the Darwinists certainly have engaged ENCODE, and in some sense respect it, in the sense that they're trying to destroy it.
It's just an ongoing academic battle. Well, thanks for keeping in the fight, sir, and thank you for joining me, Dr. Mike Eggener, for all of your insight and your continued insight in the future. I've read some of your other articles. They're great, and keep it up. Thanks for giving us so much food for thought.
Thank you, Tom.
Take care. I'm Todd Butterfield for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.